moment, USA. The greatest entertainers in America is requested by you, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Well, hi, gang. This is Jack McCoy bringing on another Command Performance. Half an hour of the top talent and tunes ordered in those letters to old command, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Well, we get a lot of mail on this show, and an amazing part of that mail has been requesting a visit from one of the most talented guys on the movie lots today. He's not only the star of such pictures as Mother Wore Tights, and You Were Meant for Me, he's an ex-member of the Blue Devil Division, the famous 88. And here he is, gang, Dan Daly.
Thanks a lot. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. And Jack, what do you say we give our studio guests a great big hello?
Right, Dan. I say, friends, we have with us about 75 men from the Canadian ship, the Cayuga.
All right, let's give them a nice, warm welcome.
Okay, let's go. Hello, gang.
Hello, boy. You know, fellas, I'm a tough old sea dog myself.
A sea dog?
Yeah, I used to put on my little sailor suit and climb into the bathtub with my French horn and my little toy boat, and there I was, sailing around the horn.
Oh, brother.
But, Jackie boy, what should we do first on dear old command?
Well, Dan, how about a preview of the things we're going to have on the show?
A fine idea. Wind up the fanfare and let's go with the preview.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Command Performance brings you heart-clutching drama.
Oh, John. John, you're intoxicated again. Have you nothing to say? Oh, John, why do you do it? All day long you work in the mines. You sweat. You slave. You suffer. 18 hours a day. Then you spend your pay in the saloon. Why do you do it, John? Why? Why? Why?
Well, easy come, easy go.
Also, Command Performance may do a commercial announcement for you.
That's right. Stay tuned in for a word from Honest Months, the used John dealer. That's enough preview right there.
Hey, Dan, there's just one thing missing from this lineup. See, here's some glamour.
Oh, it's not missing, Jackson. We're ready to bring it out now. Gang, here's a lovely thing. You love her Decca records as well as her fine radio work, and now here she is on your own show, Evelyn Knight. That's a terrific gown you're wearing.
Why, thank you. This is called a town and country gown.
A town and country?
Yes. Why?
See, when you came to town, you left part of it in the country. That's what we call a California dress.
California?
Yeah. On a clear day, you can see Catalina. Evelyn, I'm glad to be on the same show with you.
Well, gosh, Dan, I'm glad to be working with the star of that great picture, Mother Wore Tight.
Did you like that?
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking of doing another version of that one. One that will thrill the girls.
What would you call it?
Father Wore Jockey Shorts.
Well, enough chatter about us. We have some talented singers to talk about. Gang, these boys are making a big hit in Hollywood. Right now, they're all the rage at Larry Potter's Supper Club out yonder in the valley. A singing combo with a style all their own. Gang, meet the Deep River Boys.
Hiya, fellas. I hear you're all set with your Victor Record version of Necessity. Are we ready?
What is the curse that makes the universe so all bewildered? What is the hoax that just provokes the folks they call God's children? What is a jinx that gives a bite in his brother and everyone? The runaround, the runaround, the runaround. A necessity, that most unnecessary thing disappears. Those are monkey wrenching. I feel as good intention. The nasty old invention. Necessity. My feet wanna dance in the sun. My head wants to rest in the shade. The Lord says go out and have fun. But the landlord says you really ain't paid. Necessity. It's plain to see what a lovely old world the silly old world could be. But man, it's all in the mess, a coat of necessity. Necessity. A boo 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 boo. Necessity. A boo 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 boo. That ought to be a law. Necessity, just necessity. The jail will never bend except for folks who sin. Well, how did I get in there? Necessity. Oh, hell is the father of sin. Cupid's the father of love. Satan's the father of gin. But no one knows the father of necessity.
You mean to say that he ain't
that's
nothing
right,
but a...
That's necessity. That's the maximum that a minimum thing could be. There's nothing lower or less, unless it's necessity. Necessity.
Oh, yeah.
Necessity.
Oh, me.
Necessity.
Necessity.
Just necessity.
Thanks a lot, Deep River Boys. You really keep that rhythm rolling along.
Now, gang, we have a wonderful visitor on hand. His name is Jules Munchen. He just finished a swell picture, Easter Parade, over at MGM. And lots of you have enjoyed him in some of Broadway's greatest hit shows, such as Call Me Mister, and he...
Oh, I'm sorry, but Jules got called back to Metro. It's his night to be CQ.
Gosh. Gee, that's terrible.
But don't worry, honey. I brought in somebody to fill in his time. Gang, tonight we're proud to present the famous biologist, Dr. G.I. Kinsey, in a lecture entitled, The Primordial Antlers of the Procedures of the Civilized Male and Presuming the Presence of Female.
Now, what does all that mean in English, Dan?
You take the high road and I'll take the low road and I'll be in Griffith Park waiting for you. Ladies and gentlemen, here is our lecturer, Dr. G.I. Kinsey.
Thank you. I am prepared with some very interesting data upon the birds and the bees. But first, is there anyone here from the U.S. Navy?
I'm from the Navy.
Navy, huh? Okay, then you give them a lecture.
No. Dr. Kinsey, please, proceed with the report.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I shall give you now a synopsis of my famous report on the facts of life, which Warner Brothers bought only this morning to use as a starring vehicle for Errol Flynn. This report was described by the Hobo News as, and I quote, a glowing document better described as forever amber with statistics.
Hey, Professor, tell us about the bees.
Please! That question is completely out of order. Now about the bees. The workings of romance can be easily observed among the members of the bee family. First must come the mating season, when the male bee will flit from flower to flower. He will stop at one rose and sniff, and then stop at another rose and sniff, and then another rose, and another rose. And by this time, he's got a snoot full of four roses and he's good and cocky.
Hey, Professor, tell us about the animals.
Quiet! That has no bearing on the subject. Now about the animals. All male animals, from the lowliest to the mightiest, have a mating call which they use to attract the female of the species.
Professor, does man have a mating call?
Yes, indeed. It goes something like this. Hiya, babe. This is usually followed by what is called a kiss.
Tell me something, Professor. Do all people kiss?
After a fashion, perhaps. After an old-fashioned, definitely. The method of kissing varies with the climate and the temperament of the people. For example, in the tropics, some natives kiss by rubbing elbows, while in the Arctic, the Eskimos kiss by rubbing noses. Thus, on St. Valentine's Day, the Eskimo gives his girlfriend a heart-shaped box of Kleenex. I tested this method by giving an Eskimo girl some Kleenex for Christmas. And as a sign of her affection for me, she told me to blow. That girl loved me.
How do you know it was love?
I could tell by the way she kicked me in the stomach. An obvious defense mechanism. However, my honest experience... My honest experience was the night when I had a date with a pair of Siamese twins.
Did you have a good time?
Well, yes and no. I trust I have made myself thoroughly simple, and now I must hurry off. I just got a marvelous offer from Simon & Schuster.
Wonderful.
Yes, they say if I will come to their office, Simon will hit me over the head with Schuster. Good night, all.
Thank you so much, Julie Munchen. Oh, there's nothing like a fine, uplifting lecture.
Gang, that really was Jules Munchen, who's not only a great actor, but a swell guy. And incidentally, a veteran of the Chemical Warfare Service in Uncle Sam's Army. Now, Dan Daly?
Yes, ma'am.
We all want to hear you do that catchy song from Mother Wore Tights, the one about Kokomo, Indiana.
Well, I tell you, Evelyn, they're economizing a little back there now, so these days the town is known as Coco.
Just plain Coco?
That's all there is. There ain't no mo.
Oh!
Mother, get out that salt and butter. He's popping the corn tonight.
Just one thing, Ev. That song's a duet, so how about joining me in the upper left-hand corner?
Be glad to, Daniel. Let's go.
Wish you were back again with all the simple folks that call my kin in Kokomo, Indiana.
Well, if it isn't Pop and I am Mom, you always had the cutest grin in Kokomo, Indiana.
Just look at Rover wag his tail. Gosh, he remembers me.
And get a load of Sister Grace.
You can't see the freckles or the jam on her face.
How would you like to go and see that old Wabashful beau you used to know in Kokomo, Indiana?
Wouldn't you just as soon go out and spoon beneath the Hoosier moon? Oh, what a moon.
For all of the many reasons that I've mentioned heretofore,
my heart will always be in Kokomo.
And of course, you know, the town of Kokomo will always be
geographically,
indefinitely,
indubitably,
in Indiana.
That was fun.
Evelyn, anything in Indiana's fun.
I'll say. Gosh, Dan, I wish you and I were back there right now. We'd be driving along the banks of the Wabash, perhaps. Just you and I.
Yeah.
A full moon overhead.
Yeah.
Then when we came to a lonely spot, I'd ask you to park.
Yeah.
And then, little Daniel, do you know what I'd do?
What?
I'd turn on the radio and listen to Red Skelton.
Oh.
I love that Red Skelton.
Me too.
Especially when he's doing that small town fella, Clem Cadiddlehopper.
Yeah, he kind of sticks out his lower lip and just goes calling on his gal. Well, here I am.
Well, howdy, Clem.
Well, days, it's you.
Well, Dan, what I enjoy most is when Red does Junior.
Well, you know something? I don't know if I could do it like Red does, but I'd sure like to roll up my pants legs and put on a sailor hat and play the part of Junior, a mean widow kid.
Swell, Dan, let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, for our day in the life of Dan Daly, Jr., we've picked the day when Mrs. Daly was hoping her little angel would be kept after school as she was trying to talk business with the insurance man.
Open up the door. Yoo-hoo, Mommy. I is home from school. I want to come inside the front door.
You can't, Junior. The front door is locked.
It is, huh? I will fix that. I will shoot off the lock with my widow toy pistol. My water pistol. Here goes.
Junior, you little fiend. How many times...
Stop jumping on my line. Let's go back and get that one. Okay, three shots. That put us over the budget.
We're getting mighty hard water these days.
Junior, you little fiend. How many times must I tell you not to play with a loaded gun? Don't you know it's liable to go off in your face and splatter you all over my nice, clean carpet?
She sure do love me, don't she?
And look what you've done to our door. It's a mess.
The old man did that. Yes, he did. The old man banged it up. All high octane came home stinko again last night.
Daniel, when your father came home, he was not drunk.
Let me in the house.
All right, but you must be quiet. I'm talking to Mr. Fisk, the insurance man.
Insurance man?
You see, little Daniel, I've been doing some thinking about how at one time I was alone in the world. Then your father came along, and then you came along.
Uh-huh. What are you talking to Mr. Fisk about?
Accident insurance.
I do it again. I stuck my widow neck out.
Now, you sit in the corner and study hard.
Ooh, look at all the doodads on the mantelpiece.
Junior, stay away from my knickknacks. Now, Mr. Fisk?
They sure is pretty. I will push them a little farther on the shelf so they won't fall.
Daniel, what happened to my knickknacks?
Mommy, we now has more knicks than knacks.
Oh, Daniel, Daniel, you'll be the death of me yet.
I will...
Yes, Daniel, does the idea make you a little more thoughtful?
It sure do. You better finish making out that insurance policy.
Yeah, that's more like it. All right, Mrs. Daly.
Where do I sign?
I want to sign the policy, Mommy. Let me sign the paper.
Junior!
Let's humor the little rascal. I'll get him this old policy to sign. Here you are, Daniel. Sign on the dotted line.
Okay, here I go. I will write me widow name. There it is. That's me professional name.
Very good, little Daniel. Oh, but look, you forgot to dot the I.
We can...
What did you say?
I said you forgot to dot the I.
He's really asking for it, ain't he?
Come on, little man. Dot the I for me.
Okay, Mr. Fitz.
No!
It's time to retire.
Congratulations, Dan. As a mean little kid, I could hardly tell you from Margaret O'Brien.
Yeah, and if Red was listening, I was only kidding. Now, gang, Evelyn has a song ready to sing. I can't remember the name of it. It's in Scotch.
The Tory on His Bonnet.
The Tory on His Bonnet for all the guys at the Madigan General Hospital. Evelyn?
McTavish was white major in the Highland Scots Brigade, and proudly led the regiment when it was on parade. He loved a Highland lassie, and before he went away, she sewed a little keepsake, so he'd think of her each day. 'Twas the tory on his bonnet, the red tory on it, his red tory, ory, ory, ay. He left his kilns foreign, and off he went to war, his red tory, ory, ory, ay. And when swinging into action, he's the center of attraction, the pride of bonnie Scotland, so they say. What made the Jerrys run? It was not his Tommy gun. 'Twas the Tory on his bonnet, the bonny Tory on it, his red Tory, Uri, Uri, yeah. When he came home on furlough to his wee bit button a ben, he met his bonny gin and went a-roaming down the glen. She said to him, McTavish man, if you're true to me, give me your old Glengarry, for there's one thing I must see. 'Twas the Tory on his bonnet, the red Tory on it, his red Tory, Uri, Uri, ay. He left his kilns foreign, and off he went to war in his red Tory, Uri, Uri, ay. And when swinging into action, he's the center of attraction, the pride of bonny Scotland, so they say. 'Twas not the moon or stars, or the way he rolled his R's, 'twas the Tory on his bonnet, the bonny Tory on it, his red Tory, Uri, Uri, ay. His red Tory, Uri, Uri,
thank you. Thank you very much. And now we come to that part of the show where we honor a winner of the recent essay contest and read an outstanding letter.
Tonight's letter, on what the Constitution means to me, is particularly appropriate. It was written by a Japanese-American boy who, through circumstances beyond his control, could not join his Nisi brothers who so gallantly served in the now famous 100th Infantry Battalion, but who, having an opportunity to observe democracy in action, joined the armed forces as soon as he could.
Tonight's letter was submitted by Sergeant Satoru Safura, currently serving in the United States Army of Occupation in Japan.
And in honoring this loyal American, his letter will be read by Lieutenant Colonel Robert E. Kearney, commanding officer of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Colonel?
I'm a former evacuee, now in the United States Army. Though I am considered a member of the minority, I will be heard. From the time that I was evacuated with other Japanese following Pearl Harbor to the time of my enlistment was a period of disillusions and doubts. I had to make many decisions of great importance to me. I was scarcely 13 at the time of Pearl Harbor, and the news of the declaration of war between my parents' homeland, Japan, and my homeland, America, coupled with the evacuation proclamation removing all Japanese from their homes, left me bewildered. We were placed in 10 widely separated camps, located mostly in the deserts, away from populated areas. After 2 years behind the barbed wire fences, the heroic performance of the 442nd Infantry Division and the 100th Infantry Battalion, composed of Nisi from Hawaii and the mainland, plus the equally heroic deeds of the Nisi interpreters in the Pacific Theater, made it possible for a relocation program to get underway. This program was backed by other American soldiers who fought beside these Nisis and who knew about the Bill of Rights. I was among hundreds who left the barbed wire enclosure for the last time, despite unfavorable reports of the outside, to live as an American should, in pursuit of happiness. I went to Cleveland, Ohio, where I spent 6 months in the home of a kind insurance man. The school I enrolled in welcomed me, and over the front of the door of the school was carved, "And free education for all, regardless of race, creed, or color." My fellow students could never have been more friendly. They gave me the opportunity that I needed, the opportunity to work wherever I pleased and to learn and to study with true American people in true American tradition. In the meantime, my folks had relocated in New Jersey, where I joined them to continue my high school education. There I was able to participate in 4 major sports. They gave me my opportunity, and I hope I have not failed them. And now, as a soldier, I serve in the United States Army. I know what the Constitution means, for I have seen it in action. So, sir, if at least you have read this, I have been heard.
I want to cross over into
ground. That was beautiful. Well, Dan, that brings us to the end of another command performance.
Yes, Ev, and it's been lots of fun. On tonight's Clam Bake, we had Evelyn Knight, Jules Munchen, the Deep River Boys, Jack the McCoy, and...
and the Kokomo Kid, Dapper Dan Daly.
Thanks for asking us in, fellas. Lots of luck, and good night.
Good night.
This program was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.